Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode.
Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me here live on Real Liberty Media. Or if you're downloading the podcast, I appreciate it very much. Wow, what a week, you guys. I'm not kidding. This has been a really crazy week for me. Because you know how many times I've talked about never getting sick because all these supplements I've taken for years now. And it finally happened. I finally got sick. And it was not fun whatsoever. And it was on Monday. But anyway, let's get through this introduction. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy shining some light on the darkness. This is a freedom lover's opinions on current events, of course. Hey, could you all please post any social media sites that you are on, that we are live here and have a live chat room? Man, tomorrow, 2 hours behind the woodshed with Hal Anthony, you want to make sure you catch that show. Packed full information, 2 hours nonstop. The guy doesn't take breaks, no commercials, no just constant information, man. And I listen to it every week. It's worthwhile, in my opinion. Love listening to Hal. In fact, I usually go back and listen a second time and read his notes sometime during the week. Wednesday nights is usually right on the left coast. My podcast for the Ravenwood Homestead Show, catch it on Wednesday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Real Liberty Media. Hey, I forgot to say Hal Anthony's show is 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 hours loaded with information, so be sure and catch that. I wasn't on Wednesday night because I had to go to some CME, some continuing medical education or dental education, however you want to call it. In Salem, which did kind of suck because Monday, I'm not kidding, I was down the entire day on Monday, like down. I could not get up. I couldn't. Wait, I see some weird notes here. Why do I gotta see where that note's coming from, but thank you for it anyway. Yeah, man, I got up and I was getting ready for work, had my cup of coffee, and I kind of was thinking everything was okay, although I didn't sleep very well at all Sunday night. Like, literally every half hour I was awake for no reason whatsoever. It's not like I was sick. It's not like I was not tired. I just, for whatever reason, every half hour I was awake, and Rochelle was too. Now, she'd been sick a couple days before that, but anyway, so Sunday night I didn't sleep really well. And then Monday I got up and I was getting ready for work, and I had my coffee, and I was kind of going through my routine, and I got up to go take a shower, and I just thought, nope, I'm not going anywhere, man. I am toast. And I worked my way over to the recliner, and I spent the rest of the day in the recliner the whole day. It was, I'd literally had it, and I don't know what it was. So I didn't get a sore throat. I didn't get, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to go over symptoms or anything, but I was exhausted. And then I think Monday night I started getting that fever, chill, sweat kind of thing going. It kind of broke early Tuesday morning. And really Tuesday I was pretty fine. I was just tired still. So I took Tuesday off also. And yeah, And then Wednesday, I had to go to Salem twice, which kind of sucked because I had to go bright and early in the morning, and then I had to go back at night for that continuing dental education class I was taking. Anyway, man, so it's been a week. But anyway, so I wasn't on Wednesday night. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about this Wednesday for the Homestead Show because, you know, it's like the cycle of life, baby. It's coming around again. We got to get stuff. Well, we already have stuff going. I don't think we ever stopped stuff, honestly, food production. And but we have new stuff to share. The Sun Oven, the American All-American Sun Oven came. I tried it out a little bit today, not actually cooking, just wanted to make sure I could set it up, you know, point it toward the sun, watch it, you know, heat up and stuff. Is pretty impressive because it was actually kind of, cloudy here, so no direct sunlight. Well, maybe once in a while the sun would break out and heat it up, but mostly cloudy. So, and I only had it out there for, I don't know, half an hour, maybe 40 minutes or something. And, it got up to about 200 degrees. So, you know, obviously it works. I mean, it'll get a lot hotter than that with a clear, sunny day, no doubt. But, so we have that. We got the new incubator that's 100% automatic, so you just put the eggs in, make sure to get the hydration unit loaded up with water and, you know, temperature, so it takes care of the temperature and humidity automatically and rotates eggs and all that stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. We got new chicks today because we're going to be raising chickens, man. I mean, we got to make sure we have some kind of meat available all the time. And that's going to be the next thing. Anyway, so with everything that was going on this week, I had a lot of time to reflect on stuff. It gave me time to reflect on a lot of what is going on in the world. No kidding, man. Oh, I don't know. I'm glad that I'm working a couple days a week. Honestly, I am. Because I have a feeling if I stayed home like 7 days a week, I don't know. I'd have to really make some changes in my life. Like, pay a lot less attention to what's going on in the world. And maybe that's what we need to do anyway. I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I'm so torn about some things lately. Like, you know, do you continue following this stuff? I wish we would get through the whole COVID thing. I really do. I really wish we would put everybody in jail. Well, if we could just shoot everybody, hang them, or execute them, electric chair, whatever, if we could just get rid of all of the bastards that did all of the damage through COVID, and I mean all of them, and just put that behind us. Let's just kill all of those people and just say, okay, that period of our history is over with. Then maybe we could move on. But gosh dang it. You know, so what happened was, you all know what happened, but I'm just stating the obvious here. You know, they made such a freaking lie out of the whole thing for 3 years, and they pounded people who tried to tell the truth. They pounded people who tried to speak up and stand up for what they believed in. And, you know, took away people's ability to make a living. These doctors, medical doctors who did try to stand up, you know, and say, hey, you can't do this. This isn't right. And, you know, the establishment, the social media platforms, you know, they all stepped in and just did all, you know, took away people's ability to live, basically, to make a living. And so here we are, 3 years into it. Can you believe that, man? 3 years. the 17th of this month, which I know St. Patrick's Day, right? But that's the day that our company decided to close our offices, you know, the 2 weeks to, you know, level the curve. Oh my gosh, man. And it has just gone on for so damn long. Those people need to pay. And I guess that's why, I don't know, man. I love doing this little thing, podcast. And I love constantly calling out those bastards. Because we have to remind everybody that the people who spoke out against all of this stuff are being proven day after day to have been right about basically everything. You know, I mean, all of the conspiracy theories, you know, like COVID doesn't exist or they've never isolated a virus. Now, that's one I haven't seen them actually justify yet. But I mean, everything else, like, you know, okay, so I was actually going to talk about a story. Matter of fact, I think it's up here somewhere. Kind of. There's some statistics in this story, yeah. Anyway, you see this story. Japanese scientist warns COVID vaccine harms are now a global problem. So I was going to actually talk about that story, right? But I was looking at the numbers and I was like, but wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. Here's the problem. So if you buy into any part of this story without challenging every single fact that they've gotten wrong. So if you look at these numbers, and this guy, I mean, the story that I was going to talk about, it's an admirable story, and it does point to the truth, and, you know, that's okay. That's all well and good. But the problem is, let's say if I were to say Fauci killed, you know, 3 million people in the United States, whatever the number is, okay? And then I forget to mention that, but wait a minute. Remember, we didn't have any influenza for 2 years. Like, there were, like, the day COVID appeared, it wiped out influenza. There was no flu on the entire planet. Every death was attributed to COVID. So in, you know, telling these stories about how COVID sucks and how the whole 3 years has been filled with lies and true misinformation, true misinformation, that's an oxymoron, right? You have to kind of, you know, always get into the numbers thing and like, oh, but yeah, by the way, not that many people didn't die and that many people weren't hurt, you know, from the vaccine or the virus or whatever, because we quit counting all of these other deaths that still existed. But for some reason, we just quit counting it and put it all in the COVID pile, right? To make COVID sound and seem so much worse than it actually was. To terrify everybody. Hang on. Oh, yeah, one problem is, you know, the kind of aftermath of this being ill Monday is some kind of, you know, congestion and this nagging cough, but it'll go away eventually. Okay. What was I getting to? Oh, yeah, it gave me a lot of, so I had a lot of time to kind of reflect on things this week, and I was kind of looking at all of that stuff, you know, and people, I mean, people have literally quit listening to me because they said they just can't take any more COVID. I get it. I do get it. 100% understand, man. So the sooner we hang all these bastards, you know, give them a fair trial, you know, find them guilty and then hang them or shoot them or electrocute them, whatever. We can move on. I mean, that would be the thing to do. Oh, yeah, I Mullen, I know. I have to I have to make some. I didn't make some today for some reason. I'm just having my medicine ball, iced medicine ball. I guess because it kind of feels soothing. And I didn't start it early enough, but thank you for that tip. Hey, and I'm just going to mention, since you brought up Mullen, this is the craziest thing. So I know at the end of last year, I mentioned this one Mullen plant. Remember we had, no, you wouldn't remember, so I'll just remind you. So we had this stretch of really beautiful, extended fall, warm temperatures. And this Mullen plant that was a first-year Mullen plant that almost died out, then came on into its second growth, like late in the season, right? That son of a bitch has survived to this day, which is so crazy because we've had 11 degree temperatures, you know, days down to 11 degrees. We've had freezing rain, we've had snow, we've had, you know, pouring rain, you know, and of course, like, we're through most of winter now, so spring is just in a week. A little more than a week, like 9 days or something like that. And 10 days, I guess. And this damn Mullen plant is still out there. And it's still green. I am not kidding. It's the craziest thing. Like, I keep looking at it like it's got to be a zombie Mullen plant. But anyway, it's cool. And we took a lot of leaves off our Mullen last year, so I have plenty of that. And yeah, you're right. I'm going to get right on that and probably start hitting that a little harder. Oh, but so something about this whole story made me think Mullen... spring, oh, I don't know, kind of lost my train of thought. But anyway, I wanted to talk about, kind of get back into this idea that I was having, the things I was thinking about this week. I said, sometimes I feel like people just want to be evil. Like, evil is easy, right? I mean, for those of us who have a conscience, evil is not easy. But just think from... Yeah, just think from these people's perspective. I mean, if they can just convince themselves that whatever they're doing is the right thing to do, you know, it doesn't matter who they hurt. I mean, look at Fauci, you know, and he's done it throughout his career. He's killed a number of different people and animals and people. Like, he killed children in the name of science. He killed, you know, gay men in the name of science. He killed, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on the earth in the name of science. To him, it doesn't matter. It's just the cost of doing business. Kind of reminds me of the, you know, the inmates that I used to work with in the federal prison system. You know, they would just tell me, hey, going to prison is just one of the costs of doing business. So sometimes you might have to do some time, but that's the cost of doing business, right? And so these people don't even think about it. If you can get in a space where you think whatever you do is just fine, it doesn't matter who you hurt or how, it must be easy. Look how many people are totally on board with killing full-term babies for no medical reason at all. Or look at how many people, from parents, school teachers, medical professionals, and mental health workers, are totally on board with mutilating children in the name of gender dysphoria, or transgender ideologies, I guess. Or look at how a single government agency, and even a single person in a government could lead millions of people to their death and hundreds of thousands of others to be maimed and injured in the name of profit. And they did that to the entire world population. So if the entire world population fell for this, and for the most part, it did, you know, I think that we're doomed. I think, how in the hell can we as a people, a civilization on this planet, climb out of where we are and actually fight tyranny if we can't even recognize it? You know what? I know a lot of people during kind of the height, the beginning of this whole COVID thing, pandemic, you know, they just checked out. They're like, yeah, it's no sense in fighting it. There was no sense in fighting this. I'm just going to go and do my thing. And I don't blame them, man. Like, politically, what are you going to do? Look at what we did politically, or what politically happened during that whole thing. And it continues on to this day. You know, we have politicians right now, literally in the last few days, who have said that they don't want the January 6th videos released to the public, that they think that would be a mistake. And I'm not talking one side or the other. I'm talking both political, you know, parties are saying they don't want these videos to come out. And I'm thinking to myself, why not? I even went and kind of Google searched today to see if any of these idiots had an actual explanation for why they wouldn't want the truth to come out. And I guess that's the problem. If the video comes out and people get to see it with their own eyes and come to their own conclusions, well, then they no longer control the narrative, right? Tucker Carlson came out and he put the first one out. And what happened? All of these other news agencies who were all jealous that they didn't get this stuff so they could put their own spin on it, you know, they all started talking about how he was trying to show that it was a walk in the park, or that it was a, you know, mostly peaceful demonstration. I forget what they were saying about it. But, you know, it was like, well, he didn't do it justice. He was lying about the whole thing. Well, no, he wasn't. He just put it out there. And he even said in the beginning, look, there was some violence that day. Yeah, we know that. But here's stuff that you didn't see. And why these politicians, like, they haven't presented an argument. Well, I heard one really lame-ass argument today. Oh, my God. And it came out of one of the court cases. And basically, this is what they were saying. They were saying, well, if that video comes out and people can see and deduce where the cameras are, that's going to jeopardize the security of the Capitol. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Like, and plus it sounded like they only had like two cameras. And if that's the case, then I think, you know, we got a bigger problem than, you know, releasing these videos for, you know, so the truth will come out. You know, actually put a lot more cameras up, which I bet they already have a ton of cameras up. I don't know if we're going to see all of that footage. But it does kind of drive me crazy. It kind of drives me crazy that either political party would actually want to protect the information that would tell the full story of January 6th, right? Oh, okay. All right. Moving along. Let me see where I am in my notes. I know, it's driving me freaking crazy, too. Okay, so I started thinking of what we are doing right here in our own little space. And it really gave me some peace, because you can't control what's going on way out there. You know, you have very little influence, if any. But you can have some local control of your little micro environment. I call it our little micro environment. There's just this little spot of the world that we still have some control of. It's our duty to manage this, and to manage it in a way that we enjoy the benefits of managing this little microclimate. So every day, you know, we sit outside and we enjoy the birds, you know, and they're all times of year, there's different birds that come and go. Sure, we have our local birds that stay here year round. You know, there's some scrub jays, stellar jays, house sparrows, starlings. You know, there's birds that stay around, but then there's birds that come through going north and coming south, and they'll stop in, man, and they'll stop in and enjoy what we've built here, what we have created here, an environment where they all can find something. You know, we have different kinds of feed at different times of the year because certain birds come through that only eat cherries, you know, only eat dried cherries. Well, I don't know, maybe they eat fresh cherries too, but they prefer dried cherries. And, you know, other ones that like a certain kind of black sunflower seed. And there's some that only like thistle, you know, and there's some that eat oranges. Like you just slice an orange, make kind of an orange ring, and you put it on a certain kind of feeder, and certain birds come just to feed on that. And then, of course, you got your predators. You have the falcon come through and take a bird once in a while. You have the osprey flying overhead, and, you know, at that time of year when their young leave the nest, they're circling high above with their young ones under them, and they're calling down to these baby osprey and just talking to them like, yeah, go left, you know, or go right, or, you know, just circle right there, ride the wave or whatever. And we get to sit here and enjoy that. And yeah, there's things that come through that aren't so enjoyable. Sometimes the skunks come through, you know, and they'll raid the chicken coop or break some eggs or eat a chicken, or coons, you know, and coyotes. And they all want something, you know, and they'll take the easy meal when they can. And they're not welcome here, but we love to see them as long as they kind of make a quick pass through the property. You know, don't become a nuisance or we'll have to get rid of you. But we created an environment where they can come and we can enjoy them and, you know, move along. If you're here to cause trouble, move along. But yeah, you know, we have this red squirrels, gray squirrels, coons, skunks, possum, coyotes, deer, all kinds of wildlife, all, you know, throughout the year, just passing through the property. It's an awesome time. It really is. And then, you know, we have our vegetables and we have our meat growing and we're fermenting food and we're preserving food and trying to find a way to make our lives easy no matter what happens. You know, if it all hits the fan, we're still going to enjoy it till the last minute. You know, we're going to enjoy it till the last minute. Whatever that is. And we have family and friends. I mean, that's, you guys know I don't have that many friends, honestly. But we have, you know, the friends we have, we consider near and dear to us. And family, you know, we consider near and dear to us. I really don't think so, Cowboy Tech. He asked if I'm going to cover the banking failures. And I didn't jump on that story, and I'll tell you why. It was kind of funny because it got my attention yesterday, Rochelle and I. What was yesterday? Oh, yeah, Friday. I had to work a couple hours on Friday so that some of my staff could get some hours because, you know, I was off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, you know, they need hours, man. And I was off and they can't work when I'm off. Well, they can't work there when I'm off because there's nobody else there. But I heard the story, and I didn't want my brain to have to go into that. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm still a little beat up from being sick Monday and Tuesday, or Monday mostly. So I've really tried to take it easy, and I really have kind of maximized my ability to take it easy this week. I'm not kidding. I spent extra time in the recliner, extra time just hanging out. I didn't do my cardio 2 days, and then I'm back to it, which is fine. But yeah, it was just whooped, man. But yeah, the banking failure is—it's going to be a big deal. Maybe I'll cover it next week if I gain some more information on it. I know it's a huge deal. It's kind of sounded like I heard, I think this morning. Yeah, I think I was hearing some reports this morning that they plan on, they're going to make, are going to make the money available to some of these companies on Monday. Because, I mean, think about this. This is the scary part. I mean, I'm not going to cover the story, but I just want to tell you what something I heard that, you know, would really freak you out as a business owner. But maybe you should make better choices about what banks you use. But so some of these businesses who had money in there, like 93% of that money was not FDIC insured. So, like, if you were going to pay your employees on the 15th, you know, a lot of places pay on the 1st and the 15th, that bank is closed and your money is not available to make payroll. So your employees are not going to get a check. Not only that, but yeah, they're not going to be able to cash a check or spend money and get food and pay their rent and put gas in their car and all that stuff, because the bank you were doing business with is locked up. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, how this pans out for sure. I do have to show you guys this story. This is honest to, you got to be kidding me. I cannot believe, okay, this is really going to piss me off. Okay, we got to find this. We have to find this story. Okay, because this is really actually kind of funny, okay? It's not funny, really. But it's going to be funny. I have a funnier story than this. But let's see what this one is. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? So, it must have been a lie. I guess that's what I'm saying. Nathan Miller dead. Okay, here, let me... I gotta look at. So I had this all ready to go, right? And now it's not available. The story's not available. Let's see if we can find this here. Oh my God. Okay, so the funny thing is, maybe it's going to come up. Here we go. All right, here it is. I found it. Okay, no, I'm going to put this up because you got to read this for yourself too. Missing Georgia father of five found dead, rolled up in plastic and carpet. Louisiana police say no foul play involved. And I said, what? Okay, let me read this again just to make sure I got this. Missing Georgia father of five found dead, rolled up in plastic and carpet. Louisiana police say no foul play involved. Yeah, it was a suicide, right? Hang on. Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking to myself, how
do you end up dead, rolled up in plastic and carpet, and there's, I mean, no foul play? So it kind of made me, it did kind of bring me to this point, like, what in the hell is going on in the world? Like, how could you have some police department officer or whatever, like, come out and say there's no foul play involved? Like, there's got to be some more explanation to this. But basically, if you read the story was, and that was at the Blaze, by the way. I mean, the story was they haven't really investigated it enough, but Jesus. Come on, man. You find a body rolled up in plastic and carpet, dead? Yes, we are being played for sure. That's no kidding. That is no kidding. Now look at this. I told you, I have even a dumber story. And I'm sorry, but I just get to the point where I think, okay, if you're this stupid, you probably shouldn't survive, period. Like if you're, okay, so here's Washington State lawmaker files a bill to fund cold water shock warning signs, right? I know you're going to think I'm a heartless bastard. I guess probably I'm getting to be that way. Maybe just getting to be a crotchety old man, grumpy old man. Because I'm thinking to myself, okay, so we, and this is, I've gone over this kind of thing several times in the past where I say, okay, so do we really need more laws? You know, like, hey, make sure your TV is secured to something so when your bratty kid climbs up the whatever it's on and it falls on him, you know, it doesn't kill him. So here we're saying, okay, the water, like in wherever people are going to be swimming, we're going to put signs up that it's cold, right? And I expect probably, now once they've accomplished this, they'll probably just go ahead and decide to say, hey, this water is also wet. So it's cold and wet. Very dangerous. And I know it's some kind of a way to make people feel better about their son who jumped into a river that he's jumped into millions of times in the past, or probably, well, tens of times in the past. But this time it was probably, my guess, it was probably spring break. It was probably really nice weather, like 80 degrees out, and everybody's going to the river thinking that they're going to have a real great swim like they did last summer. But guess what? All that water is snow melt, glacier melt, freezing ass cold water. And you jump in and you gasp and suck in a bunch of that nice cold water into your lungs and you die. I hate it for you, but you should know better. But I guess it's more important that we teach our kids about being transgender, about being LGBTQ, about, you know, whatever, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, false histories. We need to, you know, make sure that they learn all of that stuff and not that water is cold and will kill you, or rushing water can sweep you down river, or there's undertows in the ocean that will take you under and carry you out to sea, and you can't swim hard enough or fast enough to beat it. Yeah, we are raising some geniuses. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, sorry if I sounded heartless, but I mean, there comes a point where, you know, you need to take some responsibility. Sweet. Oh, that's nice. Huh. Yeah, you need to take responsibility for your actions. And mom and dad, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your kid died. You really think the sign is going to do anything? Hell, they have the same swimming holes they've had for years and years and years. And I've lived here long enough to remember them saying, we're going to put signs up that say you have to wear a life jacket. Okay. All right. That didn't help. Still have people drown every single year. Because what? They didn't wear a life jacket? No, because they were stupid. They jumped into water they shouldn't have jumped into at a time of year they shouldn't have been swimming. But I'm sure this sign, you know, just like gun-free zone in front of a school, this sign is going to work too. You know, these are the perfect kind of things that we need to put in our community to make sure that, you know, people don't ever get hurt again. We'll just put up a sign saying that this water is cold. Or what does it say? To fund cold water shock warning signs. You know, and the sad thing is, I guess for me, is you see these like young people jumping on the bandwagon like, yeah, somebody should have thought of this long ago. Well, maybe you should have thought about it before you jumped in. It would be a good idea to test the waters a little bit first, right? Good Lord. You know, and they think they're doing some favor for one of their classmates or one of their peers, you know, from another school, and they feel bad, you know. You feel really bad that this kid jumped in this freezing cold water and, you know, and he died because he didn't know it was going to be freezing cold. You know, I mean, that's kind of another thing, too. It's like that testosterone will get you every time. You know, I'm not kidding. It'll make you do stupid stuff. I mean, I've never done anything stupid. Oh, that's not true. But, yeah, all those hormones flying around there in high school. All right, moving along. What else do I have? That was the craziest stuff I had, I think, this week. I do have some stories, don't I? Oh, my goodness, y'all. Let me see. I knew that I might not have a full show tonight. I think I do, but I'm looking. Oh, I did one. Hey, this is, oh, my gosh, really? I should tell a story someday. Yeah, okay. All right, I will. Maybe. No, I will. There's got to be. It'll come out eventually. I'll tell you some stories. Okay. California, man, they're in trouble. So you notice, like, they got pounded, like snow and rain, and they flooded, and the snow kept piling up. Atmospheric river hit them like a week ago for a solid week. And guess what? They had a couple days where they sort of had a break. And that atmospheric river, the next one, just lined up and said, hey, here we come again. And they are pounding. They are pounding California again. And this is what I was going to say. This atmospheric river that is just unloading on California, one of the things that they... one of the things that California was worried about is that this rain is going to come in and melt all the snow. And what did I say? Like the last week or two, I said, look, it doesn't matter if people think that California is out of drought danger. That's only temporary, because this atmospheric river that's dumping on California is just going to run straight back off into the Pacific Ocean. Oh, yeah, and I'll bet all those solar panels. No kidding, there's feet of snow, like literally feet of snow. I'll be interested to see how many of those solar panels actually survived the weight of that snow. And maybe they did. I mean, maybe they did. Too bad, though, that they're not actually producing any power. Good grief. Oh, my back. Oh. All right. Oh. That's nice. Thanks, Cowboy Tech. You guys are really nice. You really are. Okay, so what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so California, they're going to get pounded by this next atmospheric river. They're getting pounded right now. It's going to go on for a few days because they have one storm, and it lightens up a little bit. The next storm pounds in, and it's melting all the snow, and it's all running back off into the ocean. So what looked like there was going to be like this great amount of moisture stored in the snow is now being melted and washed off like faster than they can do anything about. So yeah, I'm waiting for this summer, man. I'm waiting for this summer and next fall when they start talking about the shortage of, you know, the drought conditions in California. Oh my goodness. Okay, so what was next? Yeah, that was it, man. California is going to... Oh, yeah. No, and I did talk about this a little bit earlier. Yeah, I did. I talked about hostile government takeover. How is it that both political parties decided they do not want the January 6th footage released? I mean, do you need any other proof that the government has turned against the people? Not only that, but now I am starting to see some value in the group of newly elected conservatives who actually demanded that McCarthy do something. Why would you not want the truth to come out? Seriously, I try to think of some rational reason and I can't find one. I haven't even heard a good explanation why the full story, all the videos, should be kept secret. Not one, man. Okay, and we did the no foul play. That's ridiculous. Cold water signs. Oh, we didn't do this story. Let me see what else I got. Oh, and that one. Oh, yeah, let's cover the story I was talking about just a little bit earlier. So this Japanese scientist, now this is an actual scientist, not the religious kind of science that they've been talking about for 3 years in COVID, warns that the COVID vaccine harms are now a global problem. For most of us, this isn't really news, but having it in our arsenal to convince normies is important. prominent Japanese scientist Dr. Masanori Fukushima has warned that that's not a real name. By the way, it is, has warned that the harms caused by the Wuhan coronavirus vaccines, especially those of the mRNA variety, are now a worldwide problem. Fukushima is the chairman of the Translational Research Informatics Center and also serves as Professor Emeritus at Kyoto University. He has nearly three decades of experience in cancer research and overarching medical care. According to Fukushima, the extensiveness of adverse health outcomes caused by the mRNA injections ultimately put billions of innocent people in harm's way. As early as March last year, data from the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which, by the way, is drastically underreported, revealed that deaths caused by the Wuhan coronavirus vaccines have surpassed those caused by all other vaccines in the past 30 years. Bears recorded a total of 26,059 deaths caused by the coronavirus 19 vaccine in the first 15 months of rollout, nearly three times the 9,066 people killed in non-COVID vaccines in the previous 30 years. COVID-19 vaccines also caused permanent disabilities in 48,000 people in just 15 months, more than double the 20,000 people who suffered from permanent disabilities after being injected with non-COVID vaccine in the past three decades. Listen to this, how crazy this is. So the damage is out there, man, and it's, and they're starting to show. We're starting to have people address these issues, actually apply the methods of actual science, so that the truth will come out. Here's what I don't understand. Getting back to how people can be evil. How can you know this stuff and continue to promote this jab and try and get more and more people kind of injected, right? And they're pushing it every single day. Okay. But the truth is coming out, man. All right, so listen. We're going to wrap this up. Gosh, we've got 9 minutes. Well, let's see. What else could I talk about? Let me see what all I had in here. I hate kind of cruising through my bookmarks because, so actually this was kind of an interesting story. 8 months after the Capitol riots, thousands of hours of surveillance footage remains secret. Oh, it is spring ahead, people. I forgot to mention that way back in the beginning of this show. You guys all know, if you've listened to me for 3 years, you know how much I absolutely hate changing the clocks, period. You know, I do like the shift in light that we're going to have because, you know, it'll be light later, but really, if you, I'm not going to get into it, but here's the deal. Spring ahead, you need to set your clocks forward. Well, who's going to do it in the middle of the night? Not me. I'll either do it before I go to bed or I'll do it when I get up in the morning. But, you know, luckily some of these are, yes, you know, I have some auto ones also. But so sometimes even the auto ones need a little nudge because they're, you know, if they're set to W1AW, the atomic clock, radio signal instead of the internet, it takes a while for that signal to, you know, to propagate, to for the clock to actually get a strong enough signal from W1AW to, you know, set itself. But yeah, spring ahead. Anyway, so we're gonna have, well, I am gonna have more light at the end of my work day, which is kind of cool because, you know, this time of year when it's dark, when you get home, you can't really go jump on the tractor. You can, but I mean, there's no sense to go jump on the tractor and, you know, when it's dark out and, you know, wet and cold, it's better if you can have some light and see what you're doing. So that'll be pretty handy. What else did we have going on that was, the fermenting thing, my gosh, you guys wouldn't believe how much the, I'm going to talk about this on the Homestead show this week, but God, the fermenting thing, it's just, it's really, I hope maybe you just take a tiny bit of simple advice and try something as simple as fermenting some vegetable that you think would be good fermented. And just try it, you know, just try putting it in, just try out fermenting yourself, Yeah, it's a great way to preserve food. You can extend the life of this food by 6 months, you know. Yeah, well, you can get it, right? And that, I mean, what, that's a great idea, because like, so some things I don't like about canning. We'll do a little kind of homestead segment here since, you know, we have a little time. Some things I don't like about canning is you actually are cooking the food, which, you know, is okay. It's okay. It's a good way to preserve food. But one thing I always liked was I like these green beans, spicy green beans, and they were always usually crisp, and I didn't understand how people did it. Well, this is how they did it. They fermented them because fermenting, you're not cooking it, you're not putting it on the stove, so it actually kind of preserves some of the crispness in the vegetables. But yeah, if you think about this summer, you know, spring and summer and fall, when all these, you know, hopefully, you know, some of your local farms are going to be producing some food, put a tea bag in it. Oh, I'm interested in that. Hey, but because you said that, I'm going to tell you. So Crystal made this apple cinnamon bites, and she actually used kombucha to use as the kind of a seed for fermenting instead of actually, just letting it ferment naturally. She kind of put a, it was recommended you could put a little kombucha in there. And, man, I guess they're fantastic. I smelled them after a couple of days, and they smell delicious. And she tried them out today, and she said, yeah, they're fantastic. You need to try them out. So probably right about now when we finish this show, I know we're having some kind of, what do you call it when you have food on a skewer? Shish kebab. We're having, like, shish kebab for dinner. Mother, we call it. You mean the thing you put in the... Okay. Yeah. Oh. So bay leaves? Oh, and tannins from the tea bag. Yeah, kombucha. Good food at Doc's always. Oh, yeah, I know, right, Vinny? Thanks. God, no kidding, man. Always good food, and mostly good for you, too. Mostly. We still delve into the, you know, the dark side once in a while, probably more than we should, but it's always good to have some treats or whatever. Okay. Let's see. Update on anybody. Everybody, I think, is probably doing fine. I didn't really say, but... Okay. I didn't really say that everybody was sick in the house like last week, but everybody basically was sick in the house last week. It just went through. I don't know why this time I got it. Because I never get sick when they all get sick, but man, somehow I got it this time. And I'll be honest with you, the absolute truth is I've missed my vitamins and supplement, not often, but some days, you know, it gets to be like 9:30 and I'm like, oh, I'm going to bed. Oh, I didn't take my vitamin and supplement. Ah, screw it. I'm not doing it now. So, and then we tried something for a while where we would do it at lunchtime instead of at dinner time. But, I don't know. I just missed a few times. That probably weakened me enough to succumb to whatever bug was going on. Yeah, that's true. I think we're all immune now. So bring on springtime. Okay, don't forget to set your clocks ahead tonight. Check out Hal Anthony Behind the Woodshed tomorrow at 3 p.m. Every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Hal Anthony is on. 2 hours, full-on information. I mean, you really... Oh, my gosh. I'm going to sneeze right at the last minute of the show. Anyway, 2 hours of great information. You can catch me Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday and Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much, you guys. I'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.